The waves gently settle against the shoreline of Lewis, Delaware. One would hardly notice that predictions are putting the sea level up by as much as 1 to 3 feet over the next 100 years. A recent estimate puts the loss of Delaware shoreline at 10%. Down the road, cars whiz by in the rain. A tall marker memorializes the storm surges that have swept through the area in years past. John Mateko is a local architect and environmental activist. He points to the marker with a picture of a flooded gas station and a yellow van deep in water, a reminder of the 1962 storm that flooded the entire area.
In the 62 storm, it came to a height of just a little bit shy of 8 feet.
That's about as high as, I guess it's about as tall as we are in terms of the
That's the right. Sand. We'd have to stand on our tiptoes here to keep our nose above water. But that's with sea level levels where they were in 1962. Remember, we're saying they're going up.
And these days, the reports of increased flooding are coming more often. Susan Love is a planner with the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control.
We're hearing stories about how people's yards and roadways are flooding more than they used to during storms. And so people are starting to see some of the incremental changes that are happening. And that's going to happen slowly over time.
The floodplain includes more than a third of the resort, with the potential for as much as $24 million in damage, and the chances only increase with a rise in the sea level. Coastal floods are more frequent and bigger. A report by the University of Delaware warning of the coming storm has put the city council on notice that there could be serious trouble ahead. Jim Ford is the mayor of Lewis. He says the city has initiated a program of educating the local residents about the hazards and looking at the ratings for insurance requirements. In addition, the mayor says the resort is reviewing recommended elevation levels for the town's structures along the affected area.
We're going to attempt to modify our building code, or at least discuss doing that, and also consider what they call freeboarding, where you can have a minimum of a height for your building, but you get incentives through insurance discounts and so forth if you're in a floodplain to build above that, to start your living space above that. So, you know, if you're 9 feet above, you need to be 9 feet above the mean high tide line, and you can go to 10 or 11, then there's an incentive there and a reward for, you know, taking, reducing that risk vulnerability.
But many houses have already been built on the floodplain and near the shore. For them, there's only one last resort: raising the entire house.
The houses were physically lifted, a new foundation and first floor was placed underneath them, or half of a floor was placed underneath them that was not living space. And so they had the capability of doing that to still maintain code to be under height, because they were small cottages and that was not an issue.
Up along Canary Creek, there is a new development. Single-family homes are in various stages of being built. Local architect John Mateko walks along, noting that just beyond these houses are large swaths of marshes, and he says they are prone to flooding.
So these look like they're pretty big single-family homes.
Mm-hmm. That's what they look like here. Two car garages, pretty typical. But the marsh comes right up here. And the problem with that is that the flooding usually comes here in Lewis. In Lewis Beach, for instance, it comes in through the back end, through the canal, or in this case, up Canary Creek. It's not the storm surge right along the coast that's the problem here. It's this back-end flooding.
Ironically, the older homes in Lewis were built away from the shoreline, but these new developments often sit near the shore rivers that run through the area. Mateko says that raises a serious question. Who guarantees new home buyers that they're safe from flooding caused by the sea level rise? And who pays for it if they're not?
So the concern is, how do we assign responsibility in society for this new risk, which is unprecedented? We've never had it in human history.
Mayor James Ford says the resort is moving towards long-term agreements that would require the developer to have some responsibility if things go bad.
We recently did a developer's agreement in an area on the canal side, on the beach side of the canal, that they do have some responsibility and a longer-term commitment, even when the homeowners association takes over and manages, you know, the common ground that's in there. Mm-hmm. The developer's still liable and bound to be responsible for flooding issues and essentially provide some insurance to the information that's been provided by their engineers that what they are going to do is manageable and that stormwater management won't be an issue and flooding won't be an issue, and as it's presented to us, so that we have their commitment and they honor that commitment beyond turning it over to the homeowners.
But there is the problem of infrastructure like roads, which local and state governments will need to make decisions about as the sea level rises and the storm surges become ever higher. Susan Love with the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control.
This isn't a problem that's just going to affect homeowners on the coast. It's also a problem that for us, it's going to be a big problem in some of our larger riverfront towns like Wilmington, Newcastle, Delaware City, and even some places inland who may be reliant upon wastewater treatment facilities that are on the coast that may be affected by sea level rise.
The water flows gently down Canary Creek as we walk with Chris Summerfield, an oceanographer with the University of Delaware. He's also a representative of the university on Delaware's vulnerability assessment team. Summerfield points to a small bridge where the cars quietly pass by.
Now it's raining and the water's moving in, but you can see how we're not even at the peak high tide, and you can see how low the bridge is to the water. Okay, now during storm surges, the wind pushes in an extra 50 to 75 centimeters, sometimes as much of a meter of water. Okay, so imagine the bottom of the bridge, okay, being 1 meter underwater. And what happens is the water backs up and goes out into the road.
This bridge is one of three exit routes out of the resort during storms. The rain falls softly on the marsh that spreads out to the trees in the distance. And this marsh, Summerfield says, would disappear as the sea level rises.
If it rises 3 feet, this entire marsh is going to be underwater, okay, on average. And it's going to put the water level pretty much right at the edges of those trees there. And under natural conditions, the marsh would migrate laterally, but as you can see, there's really nowhere else for it to go. So 3 feet would probably be a game changer in this, or game ender, I should say, for this particular salt marsh.
These marshes are important for absorbing nutrients and sediments that could get into the water supply. They're also the home or way station for many species, especially birds that often stop or breed in the area. Again, coastal oceanographer Chris Summerfield.
In the case of marshes, if it were not for the vegetation, then we don't have land there. So if the plants die off, then we're going to have a situation where sea level is either going to intrude through erosion, or it's going to inundate the land because the land is sinking.
The state of Delaware has moved aggressively to assess the impact of the rising sea level and what can be done to alleviate the situation at the local and state level. But climate change is something that is far greater than any local or state government. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.